I have to ask you about this particular film, because when I announced to our many of our listeners that we were going to welcome you on the show, the overwhelming majority of them wanted to know about Sorcerer. And I understand this is your most requested film.
It's a very strange thing that's happened to Sorcerer. As a matter of fact, I think the first point in the legal case that I brought against Paramount and Universal, the first response is today, and I'll know either today or tomorrow how this will be continued. But for many years, both Paramount and Universal allowed the film to be shown. It's still available on a very bad and an old VHS, which I didn't make. It's the only one of my films that went to DVD or Blu-ray that I had nothing to do with. They just sort of snuck it under the radar. But for many years, both studios that had financed it had made it available to film societies and universities and all over the world. As recently as last year, the American Cinematheque had a retrospective of my films, and, you know, it was a huge success here. And they ran Sorcerer. Paramount made a new print of Sorcerer last year. And then all of a sudden, these requests were denied by both studios. And they both claimed that they didn't know who owned the picture. Mm. They had no record of whether Paramount owned any rights or Universal. And none of these film societies could, or schools, could get it anymore. By the way, this has happened to a number of other films, such as Blade Runner and White Dawn that Phil Kaufman had made, many others. And it appears, I mean, they wrote to us saying, we don't know who owns the film. We don't anymore. We can't say who does. Now, I understand that the film was put into a joint corporation that Paramount and Universal had formed a number of years ago, well, you know, over 30 years ago. They formed a company called CIC, Cinema International Corporation, that was set up for the purpose of jointly distributing Paramount and Universal's properties overseas. They were not licensed to do business in the United States, CIC, only, you know, Europe, Latin America, and elsewhere. And that company has long since folded. And so there's that development, and there's the fact that the studios want to erase all memory of 35mm film. They mm-hmm. want to convert to the new media as quickly as possible. That is, DVD, Blu-ray, or whatever is going to very soon follow it. And Eastman Kodak no longer makes 35mm stock. So within 2 years, nothing will be shot on 35, and, you know, you'll only be able to see it in revival houses, and the prints will all be very bad because there's nobody around who cares about, you know, film preservation, really. And so I sued Paramount and Universal to determine the ownership of the rights, and their response is due today. We've asked them to produce every imaginable document pertaining to Sorcerer, and my personal belief is that they don't have them. Mm. That what they've done is what the studios have always done, is destroy their legacy. They don't really want you or people to see an old movie. They want you to see a new movie. They've stopped being cooperative with film societies, with rare exception. I mean, Warner Brothers will still make all of their stuff available to you know, legitimate film societies and universities. But Paramount and Universal have started a process to eliminate all of that. and Sorcerer fell between the cracks there. So I'm trying to determine ownership. And, you know, it may well be that I own the film, in which case I will make it available to anybody, you know, any legitimate organization that wants to run it. It's a very unique and original suit. But they are claiming they don't know who owns the rights. Now, there's a bunch of young lawyers at all the studios now who really have no memory of the studio's past. And what they largely do is after a certain time period, they destroy all the files. So they may not know who owns it. But they did as of last year when they had this enormously successful run of it at the Cinematheque. And I was there. I did a Q&A, and they had lines around the block to see it. There's a group here called Cine Family, a group of, you know, film lovers like yourself and others. They requested it, and that's how this came up. The studio sent them emails saying, we have no idea who owns this, and we don't. And that's what provoked my legal action against both studios. And all we're asking for, we're not asking for money from these studios, we're just asking for, you know, the right to keep the film in circulation to those who want to see it.
Well, you're trying to save your film. And I would imagine that the ultimate goal would be, would it be a Blu-ray release so everyone can have access to it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I said in my lawsuit, this is not about money. If I receive any money as a result of obtaining the rights to Sorcerer, I will donate it to film restoration and preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Every dime.
Mm.
So I just want the film seen.
Do you... I'm curious to know, because Sorcerer was an incredibly ambitious film for you, and it's grown in stature as the years have gone by. But when it was first released, and it didn't really perform as well as I'm sure you had hoped. How did you take to that? How did that affect you?
Jamie, let me try and explain this to you. When you say didn't perform as well as I hoped, I thought that I made the film as well as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Scheider, who was the lead, and even the other cast, with the exception of a young Moroccan actor named Amadou, who was my first choice, none of them were my first choices. The script was written for Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen loved it and wanted to do it, but he had just married Ally McGraw, and they were very close, and he wanted me to write a role in for Ally McGraw. And he had told me that it was the best script that he had read. And could I write a part in there for Ally? And I said, geez, Steve, you just told me it's the best script you ever read. There really is no major role for a woman. I'd have to change the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all right. He said, are you going to shoot it in this country? And I said, no, I found some fantastic locations where I want to shoot it. Very primitive and rugged locations. He said, well, you could find that here in the United States. He said, because I can't, you know, I don't want to be away from alleys. I said, well, I'm not going to shoot it in the United States, except for one sequence. And then he said, well, okay, make her the associate producer or something. And I was really arrogant at that time, possibly only a little bit less so now. But I said, no, I don't believe in that credit, associate producer.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in it, and I'm not going to do it. And I was an idiot. I didn't realize then what I've come to realize, that a close shot of Steve McQueen, you know, is worth the most beautiful landscape you can photograph. And if the same situation occurred today, I would do whatever I had to do to get McQueen into that film, because If I had McQueen, then Marcello Mastroianni would have signed on to one of the other parts, and Lino Ventura, who was a great French star, one of the best film actors ever. And they would not take second or third billing to Roy Scheider. Now, I think Roy was great in the film. I really do. But Roy was not a movie star, and I think the film needed that. On the other hand, I'm happy with the film, Jamie. I love the film. Despite the fact that it was a financial failure and that the critics mostly, you know, dumped all over it, the film works for me. Now, I don't compare this in any way to, let's say, the work of some of the great artists in the past who got no recognition. But you take Vincent van Gogh, who had made well over 3,000 works of art in 10 years and never sold one, never sold a painting, but he continued to paint. And now you can't buy a Van Gogh, you know, for less than $10 or $20 million. And Van Gogh never made any money on his films, but he continued to paint. I have not ever thought about simply making films to make money. Now, I realize you're better off if your films do make money in that they hopefully appeal to a wide audience and they bring back the investment to the bankers. But I'm not a banker, you know. I've really been blessed by the fact that I was able to make films. I never went to college. I never went to film school. I've never really had a lesson in film. And I've made about 15 or 16 films. Some of them I like. Some of them I don't. Some of them I think work. And when I say work, I mean for me. I can't put myself into the mind's eye of other people, Jamie. I know who love and revere Sorcerer, and I'm very grateful for that. But if I hated it, it would mean nothing to me.